Hey, this is Jamie with Stillmeyer Games, and I'm really excited today to talk to you about my top 10 favorite games of 2021. Before I get to that list, I have some other categories I'm going to cover today, looking back at my gaming year of 2021. This first category, oh, and I should mention before I get started, all of this is, well, everything I talk about is highly subjective, but also in particular, the release dates. 2021 was kind of a weird year for release dates. So some things were released in the US and they weren't available elsewhere, and vice versa. So there'll be probably some games next year that were actually, that you actually played this year that I haven't played yet. Stuff like that, including there's one notable game on my list that I don't think is widely available everywhere, but it is widely available in some places. So I'm just going to talk about the games that I played for the first time in 2021, and mostly trying to limit that to things that I had access to for the first time in 2021. Okay, so the first category I'm going to talk about are my favorite expansions. I think sometimes expansions are lost in these end of year lists, and expansions take a lot of time and effort to design, so I want to acknowledge that. One of my favorites is Expedition Leaders from Lost Ruins of Arnak, Manufactions expansion for Fantastic Factories, the Forgotten Realms and Strixhaven sets from Magic: The Gathering, the Cursed Horde expansion from Fantasy Realms, and Into the Horizon, a great expansion for Shards of Infinity. I have videos, I think, about all those things at this point. Yeah, I do. And I enjoyed all of them quite a bit. I'm going to go into detail a little bit about what I like about my top 10 in particular, but I'll go fairly quick through these subcategories, these early categories. Last year, I actually had a whole separate top 10 for sequels. It seemed like the year of 2020 specifically was a year of sequels of games or spin-offs of games. This year, there weren't quite as many, but there were a few notable ones. So my favorite sequels this year were Herbaceous Pocket, Cartographer's Heroes, and The Crew Mission Deep Sea. Some more games. We had some games released this year. We had Rolling Realms. We had Red Rising over here. Let me show that. And we also had two expansions. We had the Tapestry Arts and Architecture expansion, and we had the Between Two Castles Secrets and Soirees expansion. I am really happy with how all of these products turned out, and I hope you found joy in them as well. As for my favorite new-to-me games that were released well before 2021, these games were A War of Whispers, Blitzkrieg, Ketzel, Conspiracy, Abandon All Artichokes, The King's Dilemma, My City, Dwellings of Eldervale, Tranquility, and Small Islands. And really, actually, I probably, now that I'm saying Dwellings of Eldervale, I probably should have put that on my top 10 list because I didn't get the chance to play that in 2020, but I think a lot of people did have access to it in 2020. So I'll just put that out there. Dwellings of Eldervale is a game that I really, really love. And it probably should have been on the, it should probably should have been eligible for this list. It definitely would have been on this list if I had thought about it as a 2021 game. As for 2021 releases that I haven't had the chance to play yet, but I'm still really eager to try, I'll mention Caper Europe, which I just received. I think I received it like on December 31st. It's on my pile of games over here. The Adventures of Robin Hood, which I pre-ordered but haven't received yet. The Hunger and Anno 1800, which a friend has and swears that I will really love it, but I haven't had the chance to play it yet. As for 2022 releases that I'm really excited about, that I'm anticipating, I have a long list here, so I'll just rattle through it real quick. Flamecraft, Earthborn Rangers, Namiji, Now or Never, Momiji, The Seventh Citadel, Merchants of the Dark Road, Marvel Dice Throne, Dog Park, The Age of Atlantis, Lands of Galzir, First Ascent, Mythwind, and Planet Unknown. The vast majority of those are games that I have pre-ordered and I hope come out in 2022, but no rush to those who are making them. I'll be happy when they arrive. I have plenty of games in the meantime. I also asked my coworkers, Joe, Morton, and Alex, what some of their favorite releases or new to them games of 2021 were. Joe mentioned Formosa T and Seta Watch Swords of the Coin and The Loop. Alan mentioned Planet Unknown and Genotype. Planet Unknown is a game that I considered for my list. It would have been on my list, but I think most people don't have it yet, and so I will talk about that one on my 2022 list, I'm guessing. And Morton mentioned Flourish and A Gentle Rain. And Alex mentioned Dune Imperium, which was on my list from last year, but Alex didn't play it until this year. Sentinels of the Multiverse Definitive Edition, Roleplayer Adventures, and Cubitos. And last, I have a few honorable mentions that didn't quite make the top 10, but they were really good games. I mean, they were really, really close to making this top 10. And they were Seven Wonders Architects, Cora, Maglev Metro, Furnace, Genotype, Floriferous, Groundhog Day, Destinies, and Enchanted Plumes. Really, really close for several of those to making this list. Finally, let's jump into the actual top 10. So, normally, I don't make Stonemaier Games eligible for this end-of-year top 10 list, but we don't publish many games, and I only publish games that I really, really love. And so, this year, I decided that I'm going to at least mention our games on this list, because I really do love them. If they were published by someone else, I love them enough that they would definitely be on this top 10 list, and so I want to mention them. The first is Red Rising. Red Rising is a game that is inspired by the Red Rising IP, which is a book series that I really, really love, and it's also inspired by Fantasy Realms. It's kind of like a heavier version of Fantasy Realms, in that it's a game where you start out with a random hand of cards, and throughout the game you're trying to craft that hand of cards into a set of characters that work really well together and score a bunch of points for you at the end of the game. But in Red Rising, there's also some many decisions you make during the game that can give you points as well. I love Red Rising. I truly love this game, and so I wanted to put it on this list. The other game, so I'm mentioning both of these games at number 10 because they are the only two games that we released this year. Rolling Realms is a game that I really enjoy, and I've actually been surprised that I've enjoyed it even more than I thought, because Rolling Realms is a game that I primarily play by myself live on Facebook and YouTube. But I'm kind of playing it with other people, but I'm really just sitting here playing it by myself and talking through it. But I found that I really enjoy the puzzle of it. I enjoy the puzzle of having three different realm cards that come together and form a unique combination. And I've also been delighted that that other publishers have gotten on board with this. So we have a Terra Mystica realm that is now in the game. And we have a bunch of other realms inspired by games from other publishers that will be incorporated into the game over the next couple years as promos. And so I love that this is essentially a living roll and write game, which is something that I didn't originally conceive of at all. I kind of just stumbled upon it, and I'm glad that it exists. So I am really enjoying Rolling Realms and Red Rising. They are on this top 10 list now. As for number 9, oh shoot, I meant to have this game because I own this game. It's over on the cabinet. Here, I'm going to go get it because it's right here. Whatnot Cabinet. I really love the Whatnot Cabinet. This is I don't want to say simple. It is an abstract game where you are putting together a cabinet of thingamajigs and whatnots and whoosie whatsits, and you're kind of compiling them into this little chart here over the course of the game. It's a game that lasts exactly as long as it should, and the puzzle is not frustrating, but still puzzly. It's you know, you have some interesting choices in trying to put together the optimal configuration here, depending on the current goals for that game. And it has a really neat turn order mechanism, similar to Floriferous, kind of, where the later in turn order you choose, the better options you have, but that impacts your turn order for the next turn. It's just a wonderful game. It's a wonderful, delightful, abstract game. It's fun to play, and even just talking about it now makes me want to get it back to the table because I haven't played it in a little while. But yeah, it is a wonderful gateway game, maybe gateway plus game that I really enjoy. Whatnot Cabinet. And as you can see, the art is really, really beautiful in this game. Whatnot Cabinet, number 9. At number 8, I have a game that I very briefly owned, but I had to leave it behind because I bought Sonora at a game store in California when I was there for a wedding earlier this year. And we brought it up to Yosemite where we were staying for the wedding. We played it. We really enjoyed it. And then we realized we didn't have any room in our suitcases to take it back. So Sonora is sitting on the shelf of an Airbnb in Yosemite right now. But I really loved it. Sonora is a token flicking game. It's a flick and write game. You're flicking these tokens onto a board to decide what bonuses you will get and which of four mini games you will trigger. And depending on you have different numbers on these tokens. So you're kind of using different tokens to if you have a 5 token and you flick that 5 and it triggers minigame A, it means that the number that you input in minigame A is the number 5. So you have a little bit of control here over which token you're choosing and where you're trying to flick, but you're flicking it. So it may not necessarily go into minigame A as you anticipated. And the minigames themselves are really well designed. There are 4 of them on your sheet of paper, and each of them is a lot of fun. I really, as you can tell from my design of Rolling Realms, I love little minigames in games, and I love how they combine together in Sonora. So that's Sonora at number 8. And number seven is probably the most recent game that I played on this list, and that is Cascadia. This is a delightful little abstract game from Randy Flynn. You've probably heard of it if you're in the gaming world, because it's been talked about a lot this year. It's a game where you put out a series of scoring definitions for the five different animal tokens that you have in the game. And these change up every game. And then you, throughout the game, create your own little tableau of tiles and tokens on those tiles. So try to get the most scoring out of this and the most scoring out of the terrain bonuses that you get. And there's a nice little paired action drafting system. You can see here, you're drafting a pair of a tile and a token, and which is really satisfying. It's just a very rewarding game, and it's very flexible. I mentioned in the Whatnot Cabinet that you don't feel punished or all that limited in the game. And Whatnot Cabinet, it does that really well, despite the confines of a 4x3 grid? Yeah, 4x3. In Cascadia, there's no limit at all. You can grow your little hexagonal area however you want. And so there's a lot of freedom in how you expand and how you try to solve these puzzles. And one thing I realized about Cascadia since I played it too that I really like about it is that a lot of these little puzzles, these animal puzzles, have limitations to them. So like the one that we played recently wanted 6 elk in a circle. So like a hexagonal circle. And so there's this sense of completion during the game. When you actually complete that circle of elks, you're like, oh, wow, that feels really good. I don't get a bonus right now. At the end of the game, I'm going to score a lot of points. I don't get a bonus right now. But it's this personal achievement of completing this thing. And then you're not limited to it. You could go somewhere else and create another circle of elk in another area of your tableau. So I really like those little sense of completions, really well-designed animal goals in this game. This game has, it's crawled up my list. I don't know, after the first play, it probably wouldn't have been on my top 10, but after the second play, I was like, this is a game that I really enjoy. I will gladly play this again. Cascadia, number seven. At number six is Canvas. Canvas is a game that I almost forgot about because it came out so early last year, but I really, really love this game. From the box design where you can actually hang it on the wall to the clear cards that you're compiling together to create your own little painting. You're creating three different paintings in this game. The mechanism of creating these paintings using clear see-through cards is brilliant. And the set collection and the puzzly element of it, I think, is really, really clever as well. It's just, again, similar to a couple of these games, Cascadia, the One Night Cabinet, it's a great Gateway Plus game. I love Canvas. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a great Gateway Plus game. And all these have beautiful art. Great year for art in games, in my opinion. Finally, at number five, we have Cubitos. Cubitos is a game that I got so excited to play because it's push your luck, which I love. It's a racing game, which I love. There's kind of a dice pool building element to it that I love. And it lived up to his expectations. The first time I played it two times in a row back to back. Like as soon as we played, we're like, okay, we got to play this again. And I would gladly play Cubitos again, over and over again. It is a really, really fun game. It adds a lot of variability in giving you different definitions for the different types of dice in the game. And the courses that you're racing on change up from game to game as well. I haven't played it in a little while because I don't have easy access to it. But I really do love Cubitos. I think it's a fantastic game. And it definitely is my number five favorite game on the list this year. Now, I do want to mention here that now that we get to the top four, I would say the top four on this list are kind of a level above everything that I've already mentioned. So consider this a big step up, top four of 2021. And the first game is another Gateway Plus game. The other three are. So if you're looking for heavier games, they're coming. But another Gateway Plus game, Dice Miner. I absolutely love Dice Miner. This is a custom dice drafting game where you're drafting them from this vertical mountain thing where you can only pull out dice that are the ones that are easily accessible on the mountains. Each die has its own meaning, and the different sides of it expand that meaning and make it either better or worse depending on which side is actually rolled onto the mountain. And one element I really love here, some people pass this off as luck, and there is a little bit of luck to it, but I really love this element of the game. If you're going to have a game with dice, give players a chance to roll them, and Dice Miner does that three times throughout the game. Three times? I think three times. Because at the end of round one, any dice that you've accumulated which you haven't been able to change much. There's one way to change them, but for the most part, you are drafting dice as they have been rolled onto the mountain. At the end of round one, you get to re-roll all those dice, and you carry all those new re-rolls and those dice into round two. So it's this feeling of progress with a little touch of variability, because you're changing what those dice say. The roll might be better than what you had before. It might also be worse than what you had before. I think that's where the luck comes in, but you've had full agency over which dice that you choose, so you have that control over that. I love Dice Miner. I love the theme. I love the dice drafting. I love custom dice in general. And I love this element of being able to actually roll the dice a few times over the course of the game. By the end of the game, you're rolling a giant handful of dice. It feels amazing. So yeah, Dice Miner, I highly recommend it as kind of the top Gateway Plus game that I'm going to mention on this list. Wonderful game. My number four of 2021. And number three is a game that I was fortunate to get the Kickstarter for. And I think a lot of people are now getting the second wave of it. And that game, very heavy box, is Sleeping Gods. This is, I would say, I think, the most open world game that I've, tabletop game that I've ever played. And it was really helpful to play it because I'm still working on my giant open world cooperative game. And so there was, I was inspired a lot by what Ryan Lockett did in Sleeping Gods. This is a storybook game, but it's also driven by this giant map where you can just decide, I want to sail over in this direction. I want to sail here, I want to sail there. You have some direction when you want it because you're encountering people who give you little quests and goals along the way. But you can ignore all those things if you want to just go wherever you want. Megan and I played a full campaign of this two-player, and we just had a wonderful time. There are so many interesting mechanical choices, like in the combat, in how you're using each of your characters at different times, how you're using different abilities. And we were glad to be able to have a table that we could just put everything out on and leave it out on for the entire campaign because it takes up a lot of space. But we just had a wonderful time playing Sleeping Gods. And at the end of the game, at the end of the campaign, we looked back over the map and we were like, wow, we still have a full half of this map to explore. We've only explored half of this map. So we're kind of putting it aside and saving it for a time in the future when we can return to it and explore that other part of the map. And even though we'll have to relearn some things, the tutorial in this game is excellent. So we can just read through the tutorial, kind of refresh ourselves on how the game works, and get back into it. Sleeping Gods is a wonderful game. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a storybook adventure, open world exploration game, but with a lot of interesting choices along the way. That is Sleeping Gods. And number two is the game that I foreshadowed earlier that I fortunately had access to because my German publishing partner was very kind enough to send me a copy of it. And where most people, I think, in the US in particular, don't have their copy yet. And that is Ark Nova. Ark Nova is a heavy Euro game about building a zoo. And it's wonderful. It is a wonderful, wonderful game. And even though I say it's a heavier game, we have gotten to the point where we can play it in about 2 hours with 4 players. It plays that smoothly once you get moving. The game flows so well. It's so satisfying to build up your zoo and advance on different tracks. It has the Rogers of the Ganges mechanism where you're advancing on 2 different tracks, conservation and appeal. And once they cross over, the game end is triggered. But everything you're doing is rewarding and moving you forward. And all these different unique animal cards that you're getting in the game, you're getting these animals, you're putting them in your zoo, or you're trying to get the animals in your zoo. That's a big part of the puzzle of the game, like trying to have enough money to afford the animals, or to some animals like have certain requirements. So you have to get this thing and this other thing before you can play this animal in your zoo. And that feels really good. These little endorphin bursts through everything that you do in this game. And I haven't even mentioned the action selection system. I love the action selection system in the game where you have this row of cards. And when you use a card based on where it is in that row, determines how powerful it is. And then you have to remove it from the row and slide all the other cards over, move that card back to the left. So it instantly becomes the least powerful card in your row, which means it just feels good when you move a card up. It also means that if you're struggling to make a decision, you can look at the cards in the 4 and 5 spot and just say, okay, I'm going to do one of these because they're really powerful right now. And on top of that, the cards can flip over. You can upgrade each of the cards and they get even more powerful when you do that. It just, the game feels so good and satisfying to play. I truly love it. And any other year probably wouldn't have been my number one game. But Ark Nova, I still love Ark Nova. It's my number two game of 2021. That gets me, and I don't have it right now because I let a friend borrow it over Christmas. Otherwise, I would show it to you right now. And I mentioned that because my number one game is another game that we completed the campaign and also gave it to another friend to play for a little while. And that is Role Player Adventures. You've probably seen me rave about this game. You will see me rave about this game in a full video just solely dedicated to everything that I learned about role player adventures. It is a truly amazing game. It is a milestone achievement, I think, in campaign game design from start to finish. It just does everything that I want a campaign game to do without overstaying its welcome even. It's 11 games, which is a great sweet spot, I think, for a campaign game. The story is amazing. The mechanisms of solving the puzzles of the game, whether it's combat or the other types of skill tests, there's a vast variety of skill tests, but they all come down to the same core puzzle of rolling and manipulating dice. That feels good. Your character advancing feels good. I mean, there's so much that I'll focus on in this other video that I filmed, but I will say one of the things that I think I really admire about this game that's extremely difficult to do is how well the game incorporates consequences into what it does. In each individual session, there's no real way to lose a session. You just kind of play through it and then you are done. And at the end of it, there are consequences. You never have to replay anything. You never have to go back and replay the scenario because it's already happened. You've done these things and now there are consequences. And what I mean by that are, there are keyword cards. They're called title cards that carry over from one scenario to the next. And in a future scenario, it might say, hey, do you have keyword card? Abomination, and you have to go back and find that card, and it might refer to something that you did a long time ago or in the previous session, and that impacts your decisions for that current session. And I know there are other games that do this with keywords, but I think Role Player Adventures does it better than any of the other ones because of how those consequences are implemented and how they really, really impact gameplay. Like sometimes it's just a little choice, but sometimes it's a huge choice that impacts you for a long time or comes back to really help you or hurt you in a huge way later on in the campaign because you're encountering characters that you approached or that approached you early in the campaign and now you approach them again, you encounter them again, and the way that you treated them originally will really impact the way that they treat you in the future. It's just the way the consequences are done are incredibly brilliant in Role Player Adventures. That's one little thing about the many, many things I love about Role Player Adventures. But really, if you are looking for an amazing cooperative campaign game with a strong storytelling element, but also a strong mechanical puzzle element, I highly, highly recommend Role Player Adventures. I loved it. It is my number one game of 2021. That's my list. Yeah, top 10 games and a bunch of games in other categories. I'd love to hear about your list as well. Not necessarily top 10. You can do top 10 if you want. Maybe top 3 of 2021. And feel free to revisit those other categories I mentioned too. Favorite expansions, your favorite Stonemaier product if you want to mention that. Your favorite sequel to a game that already existed, but someone worked really hard on a sequel. Favorite new-to-you games that released well before 2021. Favorite 2021 releases that you didn't get the chance to play yet, and games that you're really looking forward to in 2022. Any of those that interest you or that a game comes to mind, feel free to mention it in the comments below and we can talk about it there. Thanks.